Hello, and welcome, welcome, welcome to WDGS on your podcast station. This is your girl, you know, Fabulous Frida, always your host, here to bring you the most of what did God say. And today, what did God have to say? Well, I tell you, it says, in my spirit that I share with your spirit, it's when is enough, is enough, is enough. When is enough, enough? You know, we mold and make ourselves. And even sometimes we allow God to mold and make us. And that can be a tall order for many of us. Because so oftentimes we want to dictate to God how we feel or we think or we want our own selves to be, instead of just saying, God, I thank you that I am who I am. In my faults, in my flaws, in my imperfections. You know, I was speaking with someone a couple of weeks ago. And I said, you know, growing up, I see myself in my reality. I was never a Janet Jackson or a Lola Falana. Y'all may not know Lola Falana. But anyway, when I said that, he said, well, I never thought that Lola Falana was that cute anyway. But I said, well, it's just the reality, though. I knew I had a broad nose. I knew I had beady eyes. I knew my hair was not long and voluptuous. I knew my legs was crooked, even though men may have found it very appealing to be bow-legged. But in my opinion, they were crooked legs. And those crooked legs, they had an effect on the way my feet were positioned, which was slanted. And so that didn't appeal to me. I saw women that had straight legs, you know, and I thought, but I wasn't born with that. I wasn't born with a little nose. I wasn't born with little lips. I wasn't born with long, voluptuous hair. But yet instead, I was sharing with a spiritual person, and I said, but yet instead, you know what? I am so thankful, proud, and confident of who I am, because from the time I was a little girl and I knew I was not the prettiest thing in the room, I kept it real with myself to the point to at least be so thankful that God allowed me to live. I said, you know, I didn't have to live. And I think about things like that, even from a little girl. God does not have to allow any of us to live as long as we do live. You know, when I first encountered death, as many of you, my regular followers know, was when my big mama died. And that's when I realized that people are not promised to be with you always. But I only thought at 9, only old people passed away until I reached 11. And when I turned 11 years of age, I realized that young people and little people pass away. And that was a new awakening for me. And that's because my only brother by my mother, he died on my birthday when I was 11 years old, but he was only 7. And I know there were a lot of adults that didn't ask me any questions because they probably thought in my 11-year-old mind, I didn't have a clue of what was going on, but I did. And I remember when we went to his homegoing service, my grandmother and me and my Uncle Alvin, we all flew to New York. And all I remember from his homegoing service more than anything was all the wonderful things that his teachers said. All his teachers had wonderful things because they said he was really like a genius child. See, and I know people never talk to me about it, so they probably don't even know I remember what I remember until I'm sharing it with you now. But they wanted to skip him, not one grade, but a couple of grades, because he was just that smart at 7 years old. And it just amazes me sometimes when I be in my reflective mode and I think about if that brother had survived, oh wow, where exactly might he be? You know, what type of history would we have shared? So throughout my journey, even from a child and as a child, I've always been big on reflecting about what's best. And one of the things I never like more than anything is the worst. Because the worst, even though it lives in the world, you have to reach a place in your life and ask yourself the question, though. Because evil exists, when is enough enough? And when do you make the decision in that enough? Now, when you talk to God about mold me, make me, even if you make me a sanctuary, tried and true, you know, I think about this is the third month in 2024, which marks the last month of the first quarter of this year. Many of us have resumed back into assembling ourselves among believers. But you still may be asking yourself the question, when is enough enough? When is enough time and energy have passed in your life to change the trajectory of who you are? When is enough enough that you take the chance to change, not just change for yourself or your family or your friends, but to change for the Lord and for the better? Because whenever you change for God, it's supposed to be for the better. When does enough becomes enough? When you've been sharing your heart only for those who plot and plan ways to keep hurting you and taking your kindness for a weakness, to say no more as of today. When is enough enough? When is the music that keeps replaying in your head stop? Stop playing another sad song. Or another, what the song Anita Baker say? Another sad love song from wrecking your brain like crazy. And love songs don't have to just be about an intimate relationship. It can be about the people in your life that you've poured in, you've poured out, you've given your time, and it's just a sad song in your heart that they never seem to get it. And they never seem to get it together. When is enough enough? When you stand in front of that mirror every morning in the bathroom as you wash your face and brush your teeth, and the reflection in the mirror, you can say to yourself, I now see beauty from my ashes. And so as your ashes turn into that beauty and your beauty emerge, that you learn to embrace it. When is enough enough? When you think about what does enough really means, where is the meter? Where is the time? Is there a reason? Is there a rhyme? When is enough enough? When do you embrace the sunshine from the rain. That rain of tears for so many years. When is enough enough? When is enough enough that you take your strength and you say to yourself, I let go of all the games you know? When is enough enough that you always begin to see, even when you allow yourself to be the bigger person, you see the tricks, you see the traps, and you see the people that do everything that come against you. Make no mistake, God never allows his children to be blinded. God never allows his children that have eyes to see to not see. And just because you be a bigger person and you begin to pray for that very person that persecutes you, for God to bless them, because you understand that when you pray for them to be blessed, it keeps from blocking your blessings. When is enough enough? When your blessings are not blocked by sending the same evil spirit that's targeting you back to them. When is enough enough? When you know that that target that they keep putting on your back, that nothingness, it has held up in your life, and you don't want it to be a IOU of a OU. Oh, I hope somebody grabbed that. You know, I was reading something on Facebook one day, near the end of last week, and a person put a post. Actually, I can tell you, she's a pastor. And I was reading her. Sometime I go to different people's pages, sometime, very seldom. But I saw when she came up, you know how it be reminders that come up to let you know somebody that made a post. Sometime I just flick past them because I just be trying to get to my post and respond back to the people that took time to come to my page. But as the Holy Spirit will lead me, I went to her page and she had a lengthy message, but it was very on point. And she, to summarize it and paraphrase it, I'm going to tell you something profound that jumped out at me. It said, when you take the knives out your back, the knives that people put in your back, the backstabbers, instead of taking those knives and targeting them back at the people, take them knives and cut the ties to those people. When is enough is enough? It's the question. When is enough enough? When we assemble ourselves in our connection with others, we should be connected with others to make a difference. Not just make a difference, but make much difference. Not just in their lives, but in our own lives. Have you ever heard the phrase, birds of a feather flock together? Well, most people with strength are drawn from people who have strength. And so sometimes we get caught up in the strength of our assignment and we'll assemble ourselves with other weaker vessels. But it is to be a strength and hope and pray that they become strengthened. And so now, as the COVID kind of have maneuvered to a place where the church is more open for help and healing and heart transformation, then you would expect most people who have those mental perceptions to begin to go back and fellowship among believers. Especially if you know you cannot change, but you want to change. Especially if you know you might need to explore three ways for you to make a change. From enough being enough. I want to share with you, if either of these three situations apply to you, everything, listen to me, everything would definitely be the same as long as they remain the same. So you must ask the question, when is enough enough? Number one, do you want to change your ability? What does that mean? That means you need to decide by who you serve and what you desire to become. You will never understand the need to change and the ability to change if you don't have an omnipresence of changing for God. You got to know it's God you serve. If you're caught up in serving your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother, your auntie, your uncle, your husband, your dozens and friends and families and frivolous stuff, let me tell you something. You will never understand the ability to change. You might make changes, but the ability to change will always be like a forest. You got to decide by who you serve. Because this is everybody's sustaining power. I'm just saying, if it's Buddha, if it's Allah, if it's Christ, you got to decide who you gonna serve. There's no such thing as some of these new modern day Z people running around in the world and think that you gonna offer yourself self-service. That's not gonna sustain you. I'm just saying, because you have limitations that you don't have within yourself and within your means to be able to transform who you are and change your ability and change your trajectory. You cannot change the stars, the sun, and the moon, no matter how much sage you burn, no matter how much you wish upon a star. I'm just saying, hello. You must find a foundation to solidify what and who you serve. That's how you're going to find out what you desire to become. Number two, you must understand that in order to realize enough is enough, you're going to have to change your mind. Hello. If your thought process is stuck on who you need to impress upon or to improve yourself for in order to make it, then those are your worst thoughts your mind can ever encounter. The desire to change. Apologies for the brief pause. I forgot to put my phone on Do Not Disturb, and I had an incoming call to come through. But I want to resume with what I was sharing with you as the Spirit gave me the instructions to do so. As I was saying, the church is open. It's open for help, for healing, and heart transformation. And there are also so many platforms through social media that we can connect with virtually and be able to transform our minds. If you really feel you cannot change and you want to change, my suggestion was that you explore three ways for you to do so. And when you hear these three ways, you can decide if either of these three situations apply to you. Everything we do will definitely be the same as long as we remain the same. You have to decide when enough is enough. For number one, to change your ability. Number two, change your mind. And number three, change your circle. That's right. Hello. When you look at number one, to change your ability, that's the time you decide who you serve and what you desire to become from serving God. It's like you change your ability by deciding on your purpose, understanding your purpose, and then formulating a plan for your purpose. When you look at number two, change your mind. If your thought process is stuck on who you need to impress, who you need to improve yourself in order to make it, those are your worst thoughts, because your mind will always be encountering the fact that you're not enough. You're not enough to yourself, to others, and even to God. As I was saying in the first portion, I always was thankful to God. No matter my size, no matter my looks, no matter what people said about my looks, I had an inner confidence of gratitude. I hope somebody grabbed that. When you got an inner confidence of gratitude, what other people have to say about body imaging and body shaming, it will go clean off and out the window. Because your day to day will be about being so thankful and so grateful. Well, let me say I am, for the breath of life, even from a child, when I knew everybody in the circle. Pretty much. Well, it was a couple of people who didn't. Well, me and my neighbor, Denise, we had the shortest hair. But Michelle, my cousin, my auntie, and all them, and Miss Outlaw children, Miss Gladys Wright daughter, everybody else, Mr. Clifford Lane, even Eleanor Jones, the little poor girl across the street, everybody's hair was longer than ours. I'm just saying. And this is the thing, that still never made me feel less confident. And me knowing Dr. Denise, and she's a dentist doctor now, the way I know her, she walks in a lot of confidence as well. Beautiful spirit, sweet personality. But listen, in our own humanness, just like anybody else, of course these things will cross your mind. But the thing is, do you get stuck in them? And do you allow them to dictate and define who you are? That should not be. When you think about that, that's why I say, if you encounter those thoughts, then those are the worst thoughts your mind can encounter. The desire to change, to believe and achieve should always be based upon your faith in your purpose and your plan given by God. God has for our lives a purpose. And that purpose, it may not even include any of those things that's always going around within our head that we keep projecting on and in our lives because of other people. Because of how other people flow and how other people go. And then you may feel that if you don't flow and go along with them, then you don't feel worthy. But let me tell you something. Never pick a flow to go along with people that you already see are broken and wounded. I'm just saying hello. You want to be strengthened by surrounding yourself with people that has experienced strength, people that have became overcomers, people that realize when enough is enough and they make the change. Oh, God, help me today. Number three, when you change your circle, sometimes just to do that will create a monstrosity change in your life from enough being enough. Some people get stuck in the same old circle of Debbie Downers. Some people get stuck in the same old circle of anytime that person calls you, the conversation always leads to gossip instead of glory. I'm just saying hello. And if you find yourself in that circle for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, when do you say enough is enough? And I got to change my circle. And listen to me, it could be your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother, your auntie, your uncle, your cousin, your dozen, your friend. If people, let me tell you something. I'm in this dispensation. Murmurers, complainers, gossipers. I've said it last year, but I had a few people to still test me. And they still call my phone with that nonsense that don't make no sense. And I entertain it. I'm not going to lie. But then I saw myself once I come back and I step back and I pop back. I say, God, forgive me. There I went again, entertaining that nonsense that don't make no sense. And then I find myself trying to overcome the objectives of people trying to tell me about a man friend, a woman friend, a cousin, a dozen, or whatever that has nothing to do with something constructive, not even for their lives or even my life. Because it really behooves me, and it always has. This is nothing new. Why would anybody go play with people that they turn around and talk about? That don't connect well with me. And I'm not talking about people where you tell them things or you sharing things. I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. When you get low down and dirty and hit below the belt talking that type of conversation. And then, but you want them people to entertain you. You want to talk to them on the telephone. You want to go out to eat with them. And then when you leave from eating with them and talking with them, you get on the phone and talk about them. That part. When is enough enough? Hello? As I said, I thought about that poster girl. But instead of those knives being in your back and you wallowing in that, take them out and cut the ties. If you see year after year after year after year, every time you talk to somebody, it's the same old thing that never changed. When it's enough, enough. When you look at the number three, change your circle. You ever heard the phrase, as I was saying before, like the birds of a feather, and birds are birds. Listen to this. You got to grab this. Birds are birds, but all birds with feathers don't fly. Oh, I hope somebody grabbed that. All birds with feathers don't fly. Some of them stay on the ground. As the old saying, what we used to say, it's an old cliche. Everybody's not an eagle. Just because they got feathers. I'm just saying. Some people are the chickens and they just peck with the chickens. I'm just saying. They stay on the ground. And when you look at people, the same rule to me should apply when it comes to people. Because people are people. But all people do not have a healthy head. I'm just saying. Think about it. All people don't have a healthy head as humans. Just because they have a head on their neck. I remember my band director. I'm going to say this and I'm close to putting a pen in the podcast. He used to always get frustrated when people didn't play from practice. He was really big. He sometimes would make us practice. Oh, my God. Especially when it was after school or on the weekends. It's like, if we're going to let up, we practice more than I think some athletes trying out for a marathon. And he make us go over and over and over. And some of the trumpet players and the trombone players and the tuba players, I remember because they was predominantly guys. I think only one female was in that brass section. You know, and but he would always fuss at them and say what he would call their names and their last name. Just I'm going to use my name, for example. Putman, what is wrong with you? When God said brain, you must thought he said train and you ran to go catch one. So I say that to say this. Everybody with a head on their shoulder, on their neck. Rather, because it's on your neck. That doesn't mean in that circle of them that they are healthy. And listen to me, that's not to discredit people from medical health, but I'm not talking about healthy in a medical way. I'm talking about people who got enough common sense. Listen to me, to make enough sense to talk about stuff that they know is not right. Now, they got enough common sense to know that, but they do it anyhow. That type of people I'm talking about. That just because they got a head on their neck doesn't mean they healthy. When I talk about healthy, I'm not talking about mental health issues. I'm talking about people who do things out of a mindset of a thought process with intent, premeditated plans to retaliate and sit down and talk against people, to come against people. They got enough sense to do that. You know what that means to me? They got good right mind. I'm just saying. They got enough sense to know how to be cruel. Then they should have enough sense to know how to be kind. I'm just saying. Then it can make it match and make it make sense. See, nobody can convince me that mental illness is just to promote cruelty. Oh, I hope somebody grabbed this. Because there are people who will pimp the platform of mental illness and they will dishonor mental ill patients to think it means just to be cruel and but nasty. But I am a firm believer that's not what mental illness is. Because there are kind people that have mental illness. And they don't blame being mean and rude and cruel and disrespectful on their condition. I think that if a person knows how to be nasty, even with that condition, they should also know how to be nice with the same condition, if it's really a legitimate condition. Hello, I'm just saying. So just because a person has a head on their neck, again, if either these three situations apply, and if you know they apply to you, everything will definitely be the same. As long as you remain the same, you have to decide what you're going to choose, what you're going to pick, what you're going to do. You know, this morning there was a scripture that was placed upon my eyes. And I want to read it to you. It's Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with my right hand of my righteousness." God is with all of us. You got to start with the first number one. You got to pick who you going to serve. Now, as for me and my house, and I mean that, my whole house, we going to serve God, the omnipresence, the omnipotence, God the Father, whose Son is Jesus Christ, and who is the Trinity with the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying. And I close with this morning prayer. Lord, help us to trust in your promise, to be with us, to strengthen us and to uphold us. May we not be afraid or dismayed, knowing that you are our God who cares for us and watches over us. Give us the confidence to face each day with faith, knowing that you are always with us. Amen. And that reading was the theme prayer today. And it was on my Bible app. And I tell you, when it came across my eyes, right before I got ready to do this podcast, I said, I must read it to the listeners today. And so as I have downloaded this Bible app, it's the KJV, and then it pops up when I say amen. It said, "The giants sent to you by God are not meant to defeat you, but to mold you and make you stronger." Isn't that amazing? Because in the session before the phone rang for me to conclude in this section, I had just said, for God to mold and make. And that when we assemble ourselves, it's to strengthen and make others stronger, or make ourselves stronger. And you know, see, those to me are signs from on high. When God always confirms himself to say, you're on the right page. You're on the right road. You are in the manifestation of what I instructed you to do. And so as God instructed me what to say and what to release, and then here I come and read this, and I saw this come up on the screen. Listen to me. That's a manifestation of knowing that God confirmed what you're doing, what you're saying. It's either to pay attention or to apply. I hope somebody got that. Whenever God manifests a confirmation, it's to pay attention or to apply. It's something you may need to make an application for that you should engage in. Or it's something that God is trying to show you and teach you. So he allowed the affirmation to come forth. Amen. And on that note, may the blessings from heaven flow down into your lives, meet all of your needs, even the things your heart desires as you delight yourselves in God. And may you continue to prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prosper. You have a beautiful, blessed, marvelous Monday. God bless, and bye for now.